Well, good morning. I am glad to see you this morning. Glad that you're here. Welcome to the church in Malvern. I absolutely love the fall. I love this time of year. So I grabbed some pictures from last weekend, and I want to scroll through these. This is why I love fall. So this is, I just love fall. I love this time of year. Vanessa loves this time of year. We are thankful we get to go and even see these things. I just love fall. That is right outside Miss Pam and Mr. Jesse's cabin right there. Oh, so beautiful. But, you know, it is this time of year. It's time for Thanksgiving, right? But I'm actually ready for Christmas. I don't know about you. I'm ready for Christmas. That was also outside of their cabin. I added the nose. Yeah, it wasn't real. The nose is not real. I added the nose. But as you look around, the stores are starting to get ready for, I think it was Valentine's Day that Hobby Lobby started putting out their Christmas decorations for sale at 40% off, right? It's just the stores are getting ready. I love catching the Christmas spirit early. And it seems like that this is happening earlier and earlier. At least it seems that way. We start shopping for Christmas earlier. I guess online has helped us do that. We start shopping earlier. People put up trees and hang lights earlier. Laura, they're done. They're decorated. Jude, thank you. You were a big part of that. They're decorated. We're getting our stuff, I think, hopefully out of the attic today or tomorrow. I hope that's getting ready to happen. We love decorating. We shop early. We decorate early. And all of those things have already begun. But I like having it out. It takes so much time to set up. I think we need an extra month to enjoy it. So that's why I want to commandeer for our family November. So we have November and December. But with all this shopping, with all this decorating, it does with me bring a little bit of tension, because I have this fear that more and more we are beginning to lose the real meaning of Christmas. Because we live in a non-religious world, and our world celebrates a non-religious Christmas. And so it seems that meaning of Christmas is being lost, that we're losing this true message of Christmas, whatever that might be. So that tension is kind of what led Cole and I to this series where we are. And both Cole and I have been really influenced by someone who died less than a year ago, I think. His name is Tim Keller. And he has really influenced and challenged us regarding this tension, which is why we wanted to share this series with you. Because even for Christians, Christmas is more and more about the commercial world. That includes me. It's more and more about the non-religious entertainment world. It's more and more about that non-religious world of decorating. And even if we don't choose to decorate the outside of our homes, if you're like me anyway, pretty soon you're going to be paying $20 to go look at the lights at Garvin Garden, right? We love it out there. It's so beautiful. I think they started decorating really early. I think maybe around September 3rd. But Christmas seems to be becoming less and less about the real thing, even for me, even for other Christians. But we still know, for now, what the real meaning of Christmas is. We still know. The world here is what we understand, that the world is dark, and we know that this world that we live in, it needs to be fixed. And so that leaves us with this nagging question that we deal with. So how do we fix this world? And that's not just a tension that we as believers face. We're not the only ones this time of year who are facing tension related to Christmas. Even the non-religious world faces tension related to Christmas. The traditional meanings of Christmas for a non-religious person, they keep popping up, don't they? So a non-religious person, they have tension because the Christian Christmas does keep popping up. A child might ask their parents, well, Mom and Dad, what's this thing about baby Jesus, and what does that have to do with Santa and the elves and the Christmas trees and the lights and the decorations? How are they connected to baby Jesus? A child will hear songs, and a child might ask, what does this song mean? I mean, God and sinners reconciled. What does that even mean? Born to give them a second birth. What does that even mean? But for us who are Christians, and for those who are non-religious, this time of the year, most of the world is, at least on some level, the secular society and the Christian world, to some degree, are thinking about the same thing at this same time. And during this time, all of us, especially in Arkansas, I hope that we can catch the real meaning of Christmas. And we want to actually do it early this year, which is why we're starting early. But we aren't too early. I mean, I've already said, they started decorating Garvin Gardens September 3rd. And Christmas lights are just part of it. We love Christmas lights. Usually that's the first thing we begin seeing around town. We begin seeing some lights. They have lights at Garvin. They amaze us. We love to walk through. And even now, you'll begin seeing things around homes, and you'll begin seeing trees pop up, especially if you drive by Laura's house right now, today. But even now, as we begin seeing these lights on homes and lights on trees, they just closed last week sometime, Silver Dollar City, for about a week. And so they have finished putting up all their lights now. So it is, when you're at Silver Dollar City during Christmas time, or starting now, it's like at night you're looking at millions of stars that are just like brought to you very closely. And it just, there's something about all of this light, this extra light that we see during this time. And this is interesting because December 25th in Europe, which is where all the Christmas stuff really began as far as the celebration of Christmas, December 25th is just about the darkest day of the entire year. Yet we have all of these Christmas lights. And I just find that interesting. All this extra Christmas lights around the darkest days of the year. Do you find that interesting? For us, what's the first thing you do when you at night, if you walk into a dark room? You reach over for what? The lights, right? You switch them on. If not, you're going to have trouble seeing what's in front of you. You're going to have trouble navigating through that room because you really can't see anything else when it's dark if the lights are out. And so kind of that's what we want to do this Christmas as we catch Christmas this year, starting early. We want to reach for the lights in this dark room and turn them on just a little earlier than normal. Because Christmas is rich with so many spiritual meanings. But if we miss this, what we're going to be talking about early in this series, then we are going to miss a lot of those meanings of Christmas. So that's why we're starting early. If we don't catch this, we have little chance of catching and understanding the rest. So the world is a dark place, and we'll never make our way through it, and we'll never see the reality of what's around us unless Jesus, as Case prayed, is our light. About 700 years before Jesus stepped onto this earth, Jesus the Messiah, there was a prophet, his name was Isaiah, and he predicted that the Messiah would come. He would come into our darkness. Now, Matthew quotes Isaiah. I want to read the quote. Although we're going to be talking about Isaiah today, this is a quote of Isaiah written here by Matthew, and it's in Matthew chapter 4, verse 15. It said, "Beside the sea and beyond the Jordan River in the Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined." Now, this is part of Isaiah saying how the Messiah is going to come and that he is going to come. And he's saying specifically that the Messiah is going to come into the darkness. Now, when scriptures talk about darkness, it's talking about a couple of different kinds of darkness. The first kind of darkness it's talking about, it refers to evil. So we don't have any trouble understanding that. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But the second type of darkness, it also means ignorance, meaning I just don't know. I'm not aware of, therefore I'm in the dark on that. So two types of darkness, and both of these apply here. So scripture tells us, and our experience in this life confirms it, that this world that we live in is filled with great evil, which leads to great suffering. We don't have trouble imagining that. And it's no different. The world that Jesus was born into was filled with violence, injustice. It was filled with abuse of political power, refugees who were trying to escape oppression, families that were being ripped apart. That's the world Jesus was born into. And that dark world sounds a whole lot like our dark world today. But darkness also means ignorance. We just don't know. We know that the world is dark, but we don't know how to cure this evil and this suffering that's in this world. We're ignorant of that. We don't know how to cure it. Now, we have certainly tried all kinds of ways to cure this darkness in the world. We've tried government. We've tried laws. We've tried sanctions. We tried to sanction corrupt countries, right? We've tried humanitarian efforts. But here's the truth. None of those things have had lasting impact. Oh, but we certainly keep trying. Because we feel this. We feel that the world around us is dark. And we have this feeling that it's getting even darker. So Matthew was quoting Isaiah. What we just read was in chapter 9. But I want to go back a chapter in Isaiah to chapter 8. I want to read something because he tells us, listen, he says, everybody, listen, and he's speaking to Israel, you have tried to fix all of this darkness on your own. You've tried to. And this certainly applies to us. Listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 8, verse 19. He says, someone may say to you, well, let's ask, and this is in relation to trying to fix things, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. In other words, the Israelites were looking for any way to fix, to cure this darkness. They're saying, what should we do? How do we fix this? We know it's there. How do we fix this? How do we get out of this darkness that we're in? And they tried. Isaiah said, you're trying. But none of those ways that they searched and that they tried were helping. And we've been trying too. In 2024, we have been trying to get out of the darkness. We have tried many, many ways as well. But we're no different. We haven't made much of a difference either. The result has been the same. The same as it was for the Israelites. Isaiah was writing to the Israelites, but he might as well have been writing to us. Isaiah goes on, chapter 8, verse 20. People who contradict his word, God's words, are completely in the dark, Isaiah says. They will go from one place to another, weary and hungry. And because they are hungry, they will rage and they will curse their king and their God. They will look up to heaven and down at the earth, but wherever they look, there will be trouble, anguish, and dark despair. They will be thrown out into the darkness. and what was true for them, we find that happening for us today. With all of their advice, with all of their answers that they were looking for and that they were trying to get from outside of themselves, and from inside of themselves, the result was still darkness. They were still wandering. They were still weary. They were still hungry. There were still uprisings from the anger. And wherever they were looking, there was trouble, anguish, and dark despair. Isaiah is saying, no one knows how to end this darkness. And it's getting darker. Now, I know that sounds pretty dark. I mean, even like today, no one knows how to end this. No one knows how to make it stop. See, we ask people too to help out. We ask the government, and the government fails to end the darkness that we're in. We ask congressional hearings. They're not making a difference. We ask the United Nations. Certainly they could do something, but they can't seem to make it stop. So we look to the intellectuals and we look to the universities and we say, surely with all of that knowledge around the world and in the universities, surely there's enough knowledge that we can make a difference and we can end the darkness. But the truth is they're not ending the darkness either. Technology then. We're in an age of knowledge and information. So certainly, maybe, surely, technology could help us. But even with things like Google and Facebook and YouTube and AI, right? Surely we could make a difference in the darkness in the world. But no one is ending the darkness. And for some reason, we keep thinking that these things I've mentioned will someday come up with the answer. We keep trying someday somehow end the darkness. For some reason, we keep thinking that. We keep trying those same things. We keep leaning on those same resources. And every time they keep failing. But yet, we are convinced that somehow we have something inside of us that will eventually bring peace throughout the entire world. Somehow there's something inside of us that will allow us to displace the darkness around us. Isaiah was right. No one knows how to end the darkness, but they all think that they do. Especially during Christmas. I mean, during Christmas, we have this feeling that if we could just, during this season, all work together, and if we could all try harder, that we could end poverty and we could end injustice and violence and evil. If we would all just work together, we could create a peaceful, unified world. But no matter how sincere any person or any organization is, the message of Christmas is not that we can create a world that has unity and peace if we would just try hard enough. No. The message of Christmas is actually the opposite of that. The real message of Christmas centers on how humanity can't save itself. And thinking that we can has only led in our lives to more darkness. If we follow the advice from a famous author and atheist, Bertrand Russell, would purport, and if we follow his advice, he would say that you don't need to believe that there's any God or any supernatural transcendent dimension to reality. In other words, none of that exists. And instead, if you would just simply and only turn to science, and I have nothing against science, but just hear what Bertrand Russell is saying. There's nothing beyond science. If you would just go to science and science alone, that will illuminate you. But here's what he says. Things actually with science end up looking even darker. I want to give you a few points of what Bertrand Russell argues himself. He says, man has no purpose or cause. He says his origin, all of his passion, his growth, his hope, his fears, his loves, his beliefs are all accidental collections of atoms. Nothing lasts beyond the grave. Wow. Merry Christmas. That's really happy and hopeful, right? That is dark and depressing. And he goes on. He says, all great work, devotion, and personal inspiration, human genius, all are destined to extinction, along with the vast death of the solar system. He said, the whole temple of man's achievement will be buried beneath the debris of a universe in ruins. And then he says, here is our hope for life. Okay, here's what he says. Only upon all of that firm foundation of what we just listed, only upon that firm foundation of unyielding despair can the soul's habitation be safely built. For Bertrand Russell, even his hope is utterly dark. And Russell only confirms what Isaiah told us at the end of chapter 8. If we look to something natural on this earth or some human resource, then the darkness only gets worse. So we have to catch this about Christmas, and we have to catch it early. Christmas is a perspective change. Christmas is a worldview change. Christmas is not sentimental, although we love the sentimentality of Christmas. It's not sentimental. Christmas is realistic because Christmas doesn't say, hey, look on the bright side, everybody. On the bright side, if we all work together, we can make this world a better place. You and I, right? Christmas presents us with a reality that we can't defeat darkness ourselves. No matter how optimistic we might be, we can't do it. But it also doesn't agree with Bertrand Russell. It doesn't agree with pessimists that say, it is all a dismal and dark future. The message of Christmas that we must catch first is this. Things really are as bad as they look. And we can't heal ourselves. Things really are this dark. Nevertheless, there is hope. The Christmas message is this, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. Notice it is not from this world that a light has come to us, from this world. No, it's upon this world, a light has dawned upon us. It came and it had to. It came from the outside. It didn't come from here. Because it's dark here. We've already established that. But there is light outside of this world, out there. And Jesus has brought light to save us. In fact, as Case prayed, I leaned over to Scott. I was like, did Case read my notes? In fact, Jesus is are light. He is the light. The Apostle John said this of Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 9. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. That's the Christmas story, according to John. And then John writes, he quotes Jesus as Jesus confirms this very thing in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. So let's think about this for a moment. This light during some of the darkest days of the year. Let's think about this metaphor even for just a moment of the sun, okay? The sun. The sun, it gives us life. If we didn't have the sun, we would freeze, right? We wouldn't be here. We would freeze. The sun is the source of all life. It's God's light, in fact. And it is God's light, now Jesus, who gives us life. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, only in God do we live and move and have our being. You see, God is not only what brings us life, the light of God, physically it brings us life, but it is His light through Jesus that brings us life spiritually. Okay, the sun. So it brings us life. The sun also shows us truth. The sun, because it lights up the day, it lets us see what's actually there, what reality is, what is actual around us. Try driving your car at night with no sun and no lights. We're going to have a real problem there. So the light, the sun, shows us what's there. And that's what God's light, Jesus, does for us as well. It's only through Him that we can even have an understanding of Him. It's only because of Him that we can have thinking and reasoning and actually work out in our hearts and minds who He is. It is only because of Him and His light. So it's only through Him that we can even understand God. As little as we do understand, it's only through Him. So the sun gives us life. The sun gives us shows us truth. The sun also is beautiful. It's dazzling. The sun, in a sense, brings us joy. Have you ever read any of those reports about the areas of the world that during the winter stay dark for months at a time? And those places where darkness remains for an extended period of time, there's a great amount of depression there. So in a very real sense, the sun is part of bringing us joy. We actually need light physically to have joy. And spiritually, God is our source of beauty and joy. Everything that is lovely in this world bears His signature. All of this means for us that God alone is life, truth, and joy. And no matter how hard we try on our own, no matter how intelligent we become, we cannot generate life, truth, and joy. We can't do it. We can't create these things ourselves. And to believe that we can, and to convince ourselves over and over again that we can create those things of ourselves is ignorant. It can't happen. For us to think that we can create that on our own is for us to continue to sit in the darkness. But the message of Christmas that we hope to catch early this year is this, that a light has dawned. So here's a question then. This dawning light, how does it get here? How does it dawn? When Isaiah wrote those words, he literally said, it flashes upon us. It is a sudden light. It is a sudden flash. And Isaiah tells us about that moment. It flashes upon us in the next verses. Verse 6. He says, for a child is born to us. So that's how it gets here. It gets here from a child. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. A child actually brings this light. And he goes on, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How does it get here? For unto us a child is arrived. Child brings us this light. And this child arrives with those four titles. A child arrives with the title Wonderful Counselor. This child, Isaiah said, is going to arrive with the title. If you've ever had any question about what is intended about Jesus, listen to Isaiah. He arrives with the title Mighty God. A baby arrives with the title Everlasting Father. He arrives with the title Prince of Peace. And all of these titles throughout Scripture belong to God alone. And they are attached to Jesus now. There is no claim like this anywhere in the world, among any world religion. This is a child, a human being that is fully God. We don't celebrate this at Christmas. I like how Tim Keller says. He says, no. We stare at that, dumbstruck, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Here's what all of this means. If Jesus really is the mighty God and the everlasting Father, you can't just like Him. In Scriptures, nobody just was liked Jesus. Once they understood what Jesus was claiming, they either hated Him or they knelt down and they worshiped Him. No one said of Jesus, oh, he's just so inspiring. I love having him around, how he encourages me about my day and just to live a better life. He's inspiring. No. They either hated him or they worshiped him. So here's the other implication. If the baby born at Christmas is the mighty God, then you must serve him. Here's the second implication. If Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor and the Prince of Peace, you should want to serve Him. If God Himself allowed Himself to be born into an animal's feeding trough, then we have something that there is no other world religion around us, no other philosophy in this world has. We have a God who truly understands us from our point of view, which He took on, from our experiences, which He lived. No other religion in this world says that God chose to suffer. No other religion says that God had to be courageous. God Himself knows what it's like to be abandoned by His friends that said God was going to be crushed by injustice, that God would be tortured, and that God would die. Christmas tells us that God understands us. God went through the trivial. He went through voluntarily the horrors and the humiliation and the defeat and the despair of our Messiah. He went through death and infinite pain, all for us. And this is so shocking to me. He did all of that, and Jesus thought that it was well worth his time. So I can say, he is wonderful, and he is the light of the world. And he brings us life when we are spiritually dead. He takes our lives and he shows us that his truth can heal our spiritual blindness. His beauty can break our addictions to money and to sex and to power. And Cole and myself, we hope this, that we will catch this early this Christmas. When all the other lights around us that we have been trusting in and hoping in to take care of the darkness in this world, when they all fail and when they go out, leaving us in utter darkness, we hope you realize that he is the light for us. So this Christmas, let's catch the real Christmas early this year. And in doing so, we have to understand that that darkness all around us, we can't fix it ourselves. So God sent his light so that we can have life, and so that we can see truth, and so that we can experience his joy. We have a very practical step for you this week. We're going to ask you to take that invite card that Braxton and Case were talking about. And would you just, if you haven't already, would you just put it in your pocket? Put it in your purse. Take it with you. And I would encourage you, if there's one beside you that's in a chair that no one's in, take those two. Just take them with you this week. And my encouragement is that perhaps there's somebody that you may come across this week that is in your life already that needs to be encouraged. And you can simply say, I want to invite you to sit beside me. And by the way, if you're so bold, you might even ask them this. If God's Spirit opens this opportunity for you, you might ask them this. Someone who was not in another church today. See, we're not trying to get folks to swap buildings. We're trying to make an impact on the darkness of this world. And so maybe someone who wasn't in another church this morning, maybe just simply ask them, hey, would you listen to this? Send them a link. I'm going to have this teaching on SoundCloud. We have Cole's teaching today. We're teaching mostly the very same script today. And his will be on Facebook Live. And you can grab that and send it to him. But just say, perhaps, just perhaps, would you listen to this? And then sit with me next Sunday. Maybe we can all catch Christmas together early this year. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us catch Christmas early this year. You sent your light into this dark world so that we could see your truth, so that we could experience your joy. And just maybe, maybe you can lead us to have a conversation with someone this week and help them begin to connect with you, our Messiah, who brought light to the world. So we simply ask this of you, Jesus, will you help us catch Christmas early this year? And it's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen.